Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Bittersweet Baking. I'm pleased where we talk to some of the best bakers in the industry and share real behind the scenes of running a successful baking business. I'm your host, Monica Kannan, and in today's episode, we do a deep dive into running a successful baking business with limited kitchen space, whether one can actually make enough money in this field, how to get custom orders, and we also touch upon the toll baking at home alone continuously can take. This episode is filled with gold, and if you have any key takeaways or feedback, take a screenshot and tag me on Insta Stories at the Jugaad Baker. Today, we're talking to a baker who's not only famous for her vibrant cakes, but also her vibrant social life. We're joined by Sindhana Manikavel of My Sugar Monkeys. Hello, Sindhana, and thank you so much for being here.
Great, fabulous.
Okay. Would you like to quickly introduce yourself and let our audience know how you got into baking?
Sure. So basically, I think I had just finished my postgrad, and I was a tennis coach then. I was teaching mini tennis for kids. And, you know, my coaching was only in the evening. So in the mornings, I used to get really bored. And since my grandmom, my aunts, everyone, you know, we all used to bake at home, you know, during summer holidays, we used to make cakes in the cooker. I've always been fascinated by trying my hands on baking. And that's when I started exploring. I just started checking out Pinterest and all the other, you know, YouTube videos. Yeah. Like any other bored college girl or like a girl who's finished college. So I used to try different recipes in the morning because my coaching was in the evening. So I'll bake in the morning. And whatever I bake, I take it for my students as well as my, you know, fitness or Zumba classes that I used to go to in the evening. And I think that's how I started baking. It was just out of interest and curiosity. I did not attend any formal classes as such, but I was just experimenting what I could in the free time that I had. And it was one of those Zumba classes after class. One of my friends, Diwali was coming, and she asked me to make some dessert for her family. And I think that was the turning point for Sugar Monkeys, because that was my first order. And that's when I realized I can make money selling cakes. I don't have to do, I mean, every day my dad would come back from work and I'd be like, Appa, can you buy me cream cheese? Can you buy me this chocolate? Or, you know, I'd ask him for random baking ingredients, and my dad would be like, listen, you're baking so many things and you're making all of us eat. What are you planning on doing? So it was that early when I realized that, okay, you know, I could make this a profession. And that's how it all started.
Okay. And this is how it started. But throughout your entire career, when would you say that business really picked up, or what would you say was the major turning point? Like, you know, you were going to...
2013. Yeah. So it was the same. 2013 Diwali. Was when I got that order. So what I did is I did not have a brand name. I didn't have anything. I made these red velvet jars and I just put my name and number below each dessert jar. And I sent about 30 dessert jars to 30 different people. And 28 of them called me back, and they all wanted another 20, another 30. So my very first order turned out to be like a bulk order, or like a very successful order, which, I mean, that was quite shocking for me. And that's when I decided maybe, you know, it looks like I'm good at it, maybe I should give this a try. And after which I formally came up with a name, and everything kind of fell into place after that incident. So if you ask me which was the turning point where I decided this could be a career choice, was that particular order.
Okay, it's really amazing that, you know, you knew right from the start at the get-go. And that was an amazing first order, that 28 people call you back. And I think that's really nice. But on the other hand, has there ever been a point in your career where you've been uncertain as to why am I doing this, or is this justified? Like, have you had a breaking point in your career?
Yeah, so many times. You know, because home baking is more of sitting in your house and working from home. And, you know, that could also get a little too much. a lot of people might think, oh, it's so relaxed. You get to be at home. You can chill, do whatever you want. But no, it's not. We do not have an outlet. The only people, and we don't even get to meet customers, or everything is done over the phone. The only people I was talking to were my wholesale vendors, who would say, "Ah, madam, evlo kilo chakra," and you know, how much of butter. It was only that kind of conversations I was having. I wasn't going out meeting people. I was all the time at home, always in front of my parents. And you know how it is when you're always at home, you get yelled for so many things. I just felt that, you know, a little, at one point, I felt it was getting too much. And on the other side, you know, my friends were all working outside. They had a different office atmosphere. They had office friends. They had all these team parties. You have a whole new different set when you're working outside and when you're working from home. And I started feeling at, I mean, it kind of got a bit too much where I said, what am I doing? I'm always at home. I'm just sitting and baking like a housewife. I feel like I'm a mother of kids. I'm just like cleaning, cooking and baking. I also want to like step out. I want to do something outside, outdoors. I don't like being in a confined space, especially your weekends. If you are a home baker, you do not have a life in the weekend. Because everybody who orders a cake for a wedding or a birthday, everyone tries and work that date around the weekend so that they are free to celebrate, right?
Yeah.
So every home baker will get at least a handful of orders in the weekend in comparison to your weekdays. So when my friends and family are all free in the weekends where they can all make plans and do something or go out of station or whatever, I'll be the one sitting back at home and baking cakes. So all of these things, you know, at those points I've thought, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm so young. Why am I sitting at home like this every weekend? So those were the points where I felt that, you know, maybe I could have gone for a different career where I had holidays. And here there's absolutely no holidays. When it's Diwali, you are baking like crazy. When it's Christmas holidays, you're still baking like crazy. So there is no festivities or like occasions where when the rest of the, you know, the world or people in your circle are celebrating, you still have, because that's your peak business, right?
Yeah.
So that's the time where we have to work really hard to make that extra buck.
Okay. And how did you go about bringing a balance into this?
Into the whole scenario of, I think I just started loving what I do.
Okay.
So, you know, when I think initially I was a little immature where, you know, I was like, oh, no, but I want to go out. I want to do this. So now I've become a little bit more smart. I kind of schedule my orders and I've also become a little bit more disciplined on my work time. After a particular time, no matter what, I still make sure that I say no to orders. There was a point where I would never say no to orders. But yeah, eventually you grow, right? And now I know my priorities. I have a cutoff limit. This is how much I can do. So after I reach that certain limit, I tell people, I'm sorry, we are booked out, because I also have another life. So yeah, that's how I started scheduling my orders. I started working and I started hiring more people, because end of the day, you can't do everything by yourself. You need to let go at some point. You need to hire people. You need to grow. So I have a team of my own now after 7 years. So I think eventually I learned this entire process as it came. It did not come overnight, but I learned through a lot of mistakes, a lot of experiments. And yeah, that's how I coped with it. And now I really love what I'm doing because I have enough time for family, friends, holidays and everything.
Okay, that's a really great point you put across, that delegating is something that's equally tough but also important for entrepreneurs. And so you were saying that, you know, you were baking in your parents' house until now. And I believe you're baking in this kind of a small veranda kind of area there. So how were you able to manage this huge amount of orders in a limited space?
Okay, so basically, yes, I used to live with my parents for 6 years of my business was with my parents. And we had a balcony space, which was 50 square feet. And my mom converted the balcony into my workspace. And every time mom finishes her cooking and she's done for the day, I'd enter the kitchen to do a little bit of my work. Monica, thinking about it, I have no idea how I manage that, because now I have a space of my own. I have a bigger kitchen. I have two rooms for myself just for baking, and I still don't have enough space. I'm like, oh, maybe I need a little bit more space, but I really don't know how I manage to do that. I mean, it's shocking. But somehow, and I'm this person who's obsessed with cleaning the place, especially my workstation. So I make sure my baking area is always clean, so that at any point of the day when I go there, I feel like working. So it was a small space, but I somehow worked through it. I used my bedroom and my sister's room to store all of my cake boxes and a lot of my baking supplies. I did not have space, but we made that happen. If you ask me how, I really don't know how. But it was an experience. It was, that actually showed me that you don't need a lavish space. You don't need a huge house or a cloud kitchen setup to do your home baking. If you can organize your space really well and efficiently, even a 50 square feet space is enough to start a home baking business. It's just a balcony spot, but it was fabulous, and I had amazing light come in there. So, I'd bake my cake and I'd immediately take a pretty picture of it. And also, it helped me with my photographs and setting up. I think it was the perfect balcony. I really wish I can get another balcony like that.
But there are a lot of people that tell you that you should frost the cake or work at frosting only under AC. So was there a problem working in the balcony with that?
Okay, yeah, it does have its own pros and cons. Again, it also depends upon your body temperature. Now, if you're working with cream and fondant, if your hands are really warm, or you're a person whose body temperature is quite warm, then when you work on your cake itself, even in an AC room, the cake will tend to melt. And there is this thing where people say you have to frost a fondant cake only under the AC. I don't know if I would call it a myth. 80% of the times it's true, but for some reason, I'm someone who works really, really fast. Even to frost a cake, I would work really fast. So by the time the temperature kind of kicks in, I would have finished frosting the cake and it would have gone into my refrigerator. So I did not have any problems working without the AC. I only had a small high speed fan in my balcony, and I've worked for all my cakes in the same place. I've not used the AC room. I've not done any of that, and my cakes have been perfectly fine, except on rainy days. When the weather is really unpredictable, your fondant starts sweating. So those are the days when I've actually put a table inside my room and worked on those fondant cakes or wedding cakes. When the temperature is a little off, then I take it to my room. Otherwise, 85% of my orders are all done in the same balcony space. Now it's different because now I have a separate room for that. But I'd say when I started off, I didn't need it. But at the same time, I'd like to say it depends on your body temperature. It depends on the temperature outside. My balcony was surrounded by trees, so it was really cool. It was not one of those spots where the sunlight would hit directly. So all those factors kind of played in my favor, and that's why I think I was able to work in my balcony space.
Okay, I think that is an answer that a lot of people are going to find useful because I find that this fondant weeping or your buttercream weeping one of the most asked questions across amongst bakers. And
Yes.
so while we're talking about orders, apart from these custom orders, you take up corporate orders as well as you supply desserts to restaurants. How
Yes.
different is that from your custom cakes, and what would be your advice for someone who wants to go for those kind of orders?
Okay. So it's extremely different from your customized cakes to your corporate orders. I'd like to talk about two things. One is your costing. So basically, and then the way you work with it. So when you are going corporate, you need to understand that it is quantity that they're going to order. So your costing has to be at the bare minimum. Only then are you even going to get your deal through to these corporates. Say, for instance, if you're selling a cake for 100 rupees to your normal customer, a corporate would expect to get the same cake with the same frosting and the same design for probably 40 to 50 rupees. So you need to be very, very careful when you're calculating your cost to make it work with the corporates, because it's a very, very competitive field where you need to give them competitive costing, because there are so many commercial bakeries out there which will be ready to give them a price that's way lesser than how much a home baker would charge. So you need to work on your costing. And second is your storage and how much quantity you can afford to do in such short span of time. Because if it's Diwali or Christmas, you will already have your set customers, your personalized orders that go out. And if a corporate orders, they will ask, somewhere between 1,000 to 3,000 pieces minimum. So you need to equip yourself with that much of refrigeration space and buy your supplies. You need to hire people for sure. At least for that order, you need to get at least five or six of them helping you. And it needs to work like a factory. Literally, when you have corporate orders, your house will be converted into a mini factory where you're producing nonstop. My advice for people who want to start corporate orders, there's two things that you really need to think about. Is one, is your company registered? Do you have an FSSAI license? Do you are you filing your taxes? Do you have a GST number? Now, these are things, only if you have these things can you even approach a corporate. If you do not, then you need to first work on it before you approach a corporate.
Okay, and how should one go about approaching corporates? Like, how should they find out which corporate to approach and when to approach? Or should you wait for corporates to come to you?
No, the corporates do not come to you unless you have friends working there. In my case, it was a little easier because my friends were working with the corporates that I got involved with. So, they put me on to the HR a month before, sometimes even a month or 2 months before the actual, festival. You need to approach them way in advance. And you need to start sending them samples. But for all this, you need to approach the HR of the corporate that you would like to cater to. Or if you have a friend or somebody who works in the corporate, they can always help with that process. So in my case, my friends were working there. So they put me on to the HR and I sent out samples. And then they sent me a competitive price list. And I had to figure it out and see if I can compete with the other baker who was ready to give them plum cakes for an X amount during Christmas.
Okay. Thank you so much for being so candid about that. I think that is going to be useful to a lot of people as well. And
I'm glad.
You were initially talking about pricing as well. And pricing and finance are something that's very important in any business, and especially the cake business. And maybe this is one of the topics that does not get discussed much. But let's take your case. Apart from being a baker, you not only travel a lot, you're quite the socialite, and you've also moved into a space of your own very recently. Is your cake business able to support all of this financially?
Yes, 100% yes. Even though it's taken me 6 years to get where six, this is my 7th year anniversary. Even though it's taken me 7 years, but I wouldn't say a home baker cannot do it. In fact, you can very well do it like any other profession. Yes, a home baking business is sustainable. It is a business where you can live by yourself, take care of your house expenses, make a profit, make enough money to travel, and make enough money to save. So, I think the answer is yes. If I've done it, I'm sure everyone else could.
Okay, and I guess the best part about this is that you're doing something that you love as well, and you're able to get to finance other things that you love as well.
Yes, totally. And my parents are so proud. Initially, when a South Indian girl who's turning 30 decides to move out of the house, you know how it is in our, you know how it is, right? So they were like, "How could you do it? Will you be able to support yourself? Do you think you'll be able to live on your own?" And there were so many questions from family and friends because it's not like a stable income, right? It's not like you're
True,
making an
true.
X amount of money every month. It completely depends on your orders and how how you work around it, how you build them. I mean, there are certain months where you have to be smart. If there's no occasion or like there's no Diwali or Christmas, how are you going to make that extra money? You need to constantly be on top of your game. You need to introduce new flavors. You need to come up with something. So those are things that I think you, as a baker, you will have to think about and not just wait for festivals to make money. And one tip that I would give anybody who's working from home and you want to move out and have a space of your own, I would give all the credit to my mother. Because from the first day I started making money with Sugar Monkeys, my mom came up to me and she told me, "Listen, it's really nice you're doing this. Amma and Appa are here to support you. We'll do anything for you. But tomorrow, if you decide to make this big," and this was on day one, no? This was when I just started. She told me, "Tomorrow, if you want to do this, I mean, take this profession to the next level, and you're sitting at home and doing this, there are certain things you need to know. One is, yes, you're using electricity from the house, and you're going to be using the maids and the akkas who come to help. They're going to be washing your vessels. Now, where do you think the money is going to come for all of that? We are there, so we are paying for it. But what will happen when you step out?" And I said, "I don't know. Probably I'll pay them." So my mom told me, "Okay, then you need to start paying them from day one." So from day one, my mom told me, depending on how much OTG time and microwave time you're using, this will be the amount you will have to pay for electricity, and this is how much you will have to pay for the maid. She made sure every month, in the beginning of the month, like how you pay someone a salary, I would go and pay my mother that money and tell her this is for the electricity and the maid that I'm using, even though it was in my own house. Even though I was their daughter, when I was making money or having a business out of my house, I had to think like someone who's hiring an office space. So from day one, for all 6 years, I've paid for my electricity and my maid who comes to help with the washing the vessels for my baking and all of that. So when I moved out, I did not find this as a burden at all because I've been doing it for 6 years. The seventh year, it just seemed like just another thing. My only extra expenditure was my rent. And by now I figured out how to obviously sort out my rental allowance also. So I think these are small things that if you start doing from day one and you keep track of how much money you're spending, how much money you're making. There's a friend of mine called Swapna who really helped me with that factor. When I started baking, she made an Excel document for me. She said, "Cindy, you need to get your costing right." I said, "Yeah, what is there? What I buy, I put expenses, and then what money I make, I'll say income, and then whatever profit I'll keep on that, and I'll sell." And then she laughed. She said, "You really think it's that simple?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" So she made this Excel document, which basically had a column which said depreciation. And I'm like, "What are you talking about? What is all these fancy terms?" So she said, "You have a microwave, you have a freezer, you have a refrigerator, you have so many equipments. Tomorrow, if one of these equipment conks, that's a huge amount, right? It's like 30,000, 40,000 at a time you'll have to spend to buy a refrigerator or a deep freezer or whatever. Where is that money going to come from?" So I said, "Yeah, I'm making money every month. No, so from my savings, I'll take." She said, "That's not how you work your costing. So when you're costing a product, if it's, let it be a cake or a dessert jar, there should be 1% of your depreciation amount that should be added to your costing as well. So in every order, you're taking 1% of your amount for anything that goes wrong. So you're charging for all of these things. And I really did not think costing worked that way, you know. So I'd say I had amazing support from friends like Swapna, my mother, my father. All of them kind of got me prepared for the day that for now. Like, you know, if I'm able to sustain myself and stay alone, have a space of my own for Sugar Monkeys and a big space I'm talking about. I think all that credit would go to the training that my mom and my friends gave me from day one. So you have to work around your costing everything. Everything, it's like a cycle. If you start there, then you will end up here.
Very true. And I think you've put across these points so beautifully that, you know, electricity need and especially depreciation are things that have to go into your costing.
Yeah.
Because these are things that people tend to overlook and then they get stuck in the middle towards when they're, you know, making it big. Last year, you arranged a Great Madras Bake Sale, and which was basically, you know, a showcase of a huge number of home bakers. And that was an exceptional success. Could you tell us how you went about ideating it and then the actual execution of that?
Okay. So this was basically started by not just me, but two other bakers. One is Maria from Adonia and Anu. Her brand is called Mistletoe. So the baker community in Chennai is very close. We're all really good friends. And we've been a part of so many baking showcases in the past. And I think in between for like 2-3 years, there's nobody doing any big, bake sale or anything like that. So we were thinking about doing something on our own. And that's when it was just over coffee where we were sitting and chatting about it. And we said, hey, you know what? Why don't we do it? We could definitely pull it off. And I run an event management company with my tennis coach. His name is Rajiv. So we already had an event management company called Center Court. So then I spoke about this idea to Mr. Rajiv, and his wife is also a baker. So, you know, he said, oh, I think it's a fabulous idea. Why don't we go ahead and see where this goes? That's how it just started. We planned way ahead, a year ahead on how to get in touch with bakers. And we wanted to keep it very different from the other bake sales. So what we did is put out a poster inviting bakers to be a part of our showcase. But we also told them that, they will have to submit their menu and tell us the items they're planning on bringing. Now, the reason we did that is when you have a bake sale, as it is, everything is going to be sweet. We don't want 20 people selling brownies, 20 people selling red velvet cakes. Then when somebody walks in, they're going to see the same repetition of desserts in every counter.
True.
So we sat down and we made a list and we told bakers, you could bring your top 5 selling items. But, you know, the brownie has been repeated by 3 other bakers. Do you want to switch it for something else? So because we did that, the bake sale was a little unique from the others. There was no repetition of dishes or sweets and savories. There was no repetition. Maybe max 2 bakers would have the same item. And we also added a little bit of music to the whole bake sale. We had independent artists coming and performing. So it was a really different vibe altogether. It was like the perfect weekend for family or friends to come and chill. So that was a super hit for us. Honestly, we did not expect the demand that we home bakers had until that day.
Okay. And yes, and I think that Sugar Monkeys also was a part of the bake sale and that you were selling your baked goods as well as organizing the event on that day. So how were you able to manage both of them?
Don't even ask me. That was the craziest day of my life. Oh my God, it was insane because I was also a part of the event management team. So I had to be on the top of my game where I made sure everything from the security gate up till like inside, everything was done, the decor was done. So I had so many things running in my head as to from the events perspective, because this was one of our biggest events. And this was the first year of my event management company. So, you know, I can't really lag over there. And the second part is, I'm like, it's a bake sale. It's for home bakers. And how can Sugar Monkeys not be there? So, you know, I know it is like a conflict of interest there. But then I'm like, but how can I not be there? So I kind of pestered my partner saying, please, I will somehow manage. I have to have Sugar Monkeys a part of this. This is our first year. So I would work for my events in the morning. I'll come back in the night and bake my cakes. That's how the last 2 or 3 days worked, where I did not sleep. I was working like a machine. And sweetly, my family, my mom, my sister, brother-in-law, nephew, and my closest friends, all of them manned the stall for me. So they all took turns. I didn't even have to do anything. I just had to bake, frost, and keep it ready at home. They brought it in batches. They cut them in slices. They stood there, they sold. So I think I'm really gifted to have an amazing set of friends and my family who backed me up, because without them, I don't think I could have done both. That day, I was a success as an event planner, as well as an entrepreneur, a home baker as part of Sugar Monkeys.
That is very nice. Yeah. With this, we move on to the last segment of our episode, and that is the rapid fire. I'm going to ask you a set of questions, and you have to answer with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay, done.
Okay. Who is one baker or pastry chef that you look up to?
Stephanie from Joy of Baking, because I think her videos were the very first videos I saw and was inspired to even start trying recipes.
Okay. What is one dessert that you could eat for the rest of your life?
A really well-made tiramisu.
Okay. What is the toughest thing in your job?
Timings.
Okay. And okay, what is one thing you wish all clients understood?
Costing.
Okay. What is one question that you always get asked, but you absolutely hate it?
When they compare your cost with a commercial bakery and a home baker. When they ask you, why is your cake more expensive than a cake at Macronet or French Loaf?
Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to agree on this. So with this, we come to the end of our podcast, and it has been an absolute pleasure having you here, Cindy.
Thanks, Monica. It was so much fun. And I'm sorry I took too much of your time with a lot of my elaborate answers, but I really had fun having this interview with you.
That is definitely fine. I'm sure that a lot of people are going to be are going to find this very helpful.
I hope it does.